Hello, everyone. This is Bonnie Lucas. I'm the president of the National Federation of the Blind of Alaska. Alaska is one of 52 other affiliates in our national organization. we had a great session earlier this morning, and thank you to those. Looks like most of you were at that. And we have more in store for you today that we think will empower each of you and get all of us ready to go out in the world and really do what we are able to do and live the lives we want. I'm grateful for that music. That last song is on a collection of songs. I know at one time you could get it at the iTunes store. I think you still can, actually. And the songs on it are really, really good. And they're all about training and getting those blindness skills up and running, and it's great. So we're going to begin this session with an invocation from Brian Blair. Thank you, Brian.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Oh, wonderful. Okay. I was realized I didn't have myself unmuted.
Not a problem.
So, all right. Are you ready for me to go?
We are ready. Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you. Well, welcome, everybody. It's great to be part of this convention as we celebrate 81 years of the 81 years of the NFB. That's amazing. And I don't know what the thing is here for Alaska, but anyway, good to be here. And let's pray and thank the Lord for the time we have here. And ask for his blessing. Sorry about that. I just about dropped my keyboard.
Not a good idea.
Yeah. All right. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth. And we marvel at your great creation. And we just thank you that you've made humankind in your own image. And yet we are all very diverse. Yet we are all equal in your sight. And we know that you love us. I thank you. You've demonstrated your great love for all of us by sending Jesus Christ, that all who believe in him will not perish but have everlasting life. And we thank you for the National Federation of the Blind as we celebrate 81 years of this organized blind movement across the United States. We come together this weekend and we are rejoicing that we can be together. Sad we can't be together in person this time. And we thank you for a good word on Carmen Jameson, and we pray for her continued recovery, even as we hear she's out of the hospital. And we just pray today that you would bless our efforts as we seek to better the lives of the blind here and to give us all encouragement as we're together here. And even as we don't have that much business as far as to conduct this year, but we do have many seminars and many things, and we just pray for your blessing on this and that it'll be informative and that it also will just help us to work together better to, as we try to spread the message of hope of the Federation here in Alaska. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Brian. I apologize if it got noisy at my house, if anyone was able to hear that. I did remember something to mute. And Brian, thank you very much for mentioning Carmen. I just want to take a minute to say that Carmen, our treasurer, and she has just been a diligent treasurer, and I hope she will still be in a position to do that soon, has been ill, and was in the hospital. She is now out and is recovering. And we just look forward to having her back with us, soon. I also wanted to mention a few other people, that, passed away this past year. Before I give my remarks as the presidential report for the past year. So first, I want to recognize Tracy Patke, who was the president of our affiliate between the year during 2015 to 2016. And she also was the president of our Midnight Sun chapter, which currently we do not have going, but she passed away on September 27th. And also, she was the president of Midnight Sun Chapter in 2014. Also this year, Tom Torvey, who was pretty new to the organization, though a longtime Alaskan, and he had been our greatest advocate for Newsline and really worked hard to try and get Newsline here. And it did not happen. As David Newman mentioned yesterday, Alaska is one of four states that does not have Newsline. I just want to say quickly that we have not given up on that, and we want to carry forward with what Tom really took to heart. And if you are interested in helping us make that happen, if you would like to know more about Newsline, I urge you to give me a call, write me a note, and we will be happy to talk about it. And the other person I'd like to recognize is Al Waldron. He passed away in, I believe it was February, and he was a very long time employee at the Alaska Center for the Blind and Visually Impaired. He taught the ADL cooking, mostly cooking classes, and everyone referred to him as Mr. Al. He was well loved, and I have heard many people talk about how they love to go in and sit with him and chat about, I think it was basketball or football or one of those things, because I don't chat about either of them. But he was great, and he had been a disc jockey at one time, and oh my goodness, just really well loved, and we definitely miss him. It is hard to see people leave us who have been such an important part of our lives, but of course we all know that all of us, that will happen. So now, having shared this information, I really would like to have a moment of silence to think about. There has been a lot of illness and death, and I'm sure that many of you know of someone who has been plagued with COVID and maybe still has some of those after effects. And so let's have a moment of silence to think about those folks, and let's do that now. Thank you. In some way or other, all of us have been touched by these difficult times. If you haven't, let me know. No, I'm just kidding. All right. So, let's see. Oh, that's something I, all right. I am ready to begin. Who would have thought that in 2020 and 2021, that 2020 and 2021 could have changed our lives so much. These are years we will never forget. When 2020 ended, I was sure we would have a live convention, a national convention and a state convention. Lo and behold, the national convention was changed once again to be a virtual and convention. However, I was still pretty sure we could have in-person state convention. So in the spring, I called the hotel, and I set up the dates. We got a copy of the menus. We looked at it briefly as a board, and the menu had actually changed. I personally, being kind of a foodie, was like excited about the menu, and I just thought, okay, this is cool. But then we started looking at the prices. They were very high. And so one evening, I knew that the time had come for us to get the menus, our chosen menus back. I needed to contact the hotel and make sure everything was in place. And they said they couldn't give me the contract until they had our menu list, food list back to them. And so I was discussing it with Carmen, and she had the print copy, and I had kind of gone over it. And anyway, we were discussing it, and I could not bring myself to say, yes, let's do it. We looked at the prices. You know, the hotel had a bad 2020, a very bad 2020. We all know that. And so they had to raise their prices. And we, because we are a nonprofit and we are need to fundraise, had not fundraised. I think, you know, it was just like a no-win situation here. I just felt like, how could we do this? And as I sat and stewed over it and talked to Carmen, and I had been losing sleep over it, and Carmen said, look, just cancel it. Don't do it virtual again. And as soon as she said that, you know, I just felt this peace, and I just thought, yep, that's what I'm going to have to do. And I decided to just simply make that decision. I wrote the hotel. I called them the next day, and then I told the board. And I understand entirely why some on the board gave me some pushback. Why didn't you tell us? We should have all made that decision. And I get that. And I appreciate them for not hesitating to tell me when they feel I've stepped out of bounds. but I hope they have forgiven me. and it has been difficult as our numbers have gone up. You know, we even thought that we could do a partial convention at the Center for the Blind. And then there was the decision of how many and exactly who. And since most of our people are in Anchorage, you know, I felt like there were too many decisions that would have to be made for that. And I just decided finally that we wouldn't even do that. In fact, I even considered going in myself. We have one client living there right now, and I thought, okay, I can set it up, and at least he can be there. And then guess what? I'm at home. So it is hard not being together. Zoom is wonderful, and I agree with Dwayne Mays, who said that we would keep using it. It's going to be used forever, and I agree. It is going to be used, and in Alaska particularly, we'll be able to use that, use this format. But you know, when we can get together, there is so much laughing and fun times that happen. And I look so forward to that again. So I want to tell you a little bit about my experience in the NFB and why this organization means so much to me. I attended my first state convention and national conventions in 2004, I think, maybe 2003. And then my first national convention was in 2005. I lived in Utah at the time, and I loved going to the state convention. And then when I went to the national convention, it truly changed my life. I was very much sold on the organization. So you might say, well, what did it do to convince you? What made it you change your mind? Because I did have a mind change that I will talk about too. So here is a little bit of what I learned. I learned that the real problem with blindness is not the loss of eyesight. The real problem is the misunderstanding and lack of information that exists. If a blind person has proper training, blindness can become and reduced to a physical nuisance. The Alaska National Federation of the Blind actively works in our communities to provide education for understanding the causes of blindness, methods of prevention, and additional resources to deal with the effects of blindness among family and friends. More than 500,000 people in the U.S. Are currently legally blind, and every year about 50,000 more people are added. Studies show that after AIDS and cancer, blindness is the most feared medical condition. The NFB of Alaska is blind people providing peer support for one another. It need not be a tragedy to be blind. We work together, integrating blind people into society as equals and productive members. And we do this by helping people outgrow many misconceptions about blindness and by changing laws affecting us. So as I prepared this, it occurred to me that we saw some of that happening yesterday when we were talking about voting. I want you to know that on a couple occasions during the election season, I did call the voting office and talk to Gail about some changes that needed to be made. That is precisely why she learned about HTML, and she heard what I had to say. And it's also important that you know that the NFB desires very much for free and fair elections to be held for all people across this country. In fact, President Mark Riccobono, the president of the NFB, has written a letter to every Secretary of State about the importance of free and fair elections for the blind. And I would add, for all disabilities, it is so important. Each year, the National Federation of the Blind takes members from all, encourages members from all the states and the District of Columbia and Puerto Rico to go to Washington. We have something we call Washington Seminar. Last year, it was held virtually, and they haven't decided what to do this year. But we go there because we know that when we sponsor legislation, encourage our elected officials to get involved and become sponsors of certain laws and legislation, that we make a difference. in the lives of blind people. And the impact is just incredible. A little about my story. I was born blind, and I had a small amount of vision, which to me was insignificant. I was sent far away to the state school for the blind when I was 6 years old. My parents lived on the Arizona border. The school was in Berkeley. So it was about a 13-hour drive, but actually it was more than that. It was probably closer to an 18-hour drive. We took the train from Los Angeles there, and that was 13 hours. It really isn't, though. So maybe it is more like 10 to 13. Anyway, so I went to school there, and I came home at Christmas and summer, and later on Thanksgiving and Easter. But, you know, you could say I was popular. Everyone knew me. I was very busy. I did fairly well in school most of the time. There were a couple of times I got some C's. I actually got a D in geography. U.S. geography in fifth grade, because I just my mind couldn't wrap around the map of the United States. Anyway. And I won all the awards, and, you know, I just enjoyed school. I was a student body president in eighth grade, and I eventually went home to high school, to my public high school after eighth grade. And while I was at the blind school, I made a number of close friends. And so when I left, I wrote to those people for several years, and sometimes, I would talk to them on the phone, a couple people over the next 10 years, but I really had little or no contact with any more blind people and no interaction. So in time, I began to think of myself as, I have this in quotes, pretty amazing. After all, I had graduated from college. I went to graduate school. I eventually married and had a sighted man. I had four children. No, not five. And then my last child was blind, like me. And I remember initially feeling somewhat devastated. After all, even though I had done all these things, I was really uncomfortable using that word. I bantered around the word visually impaired, you know, sightless, or, you know, I'd hear these terms. But to me, when I would hear that word impaired, I didn't feel like I was impaired, but I didn't have a comfort level with the word blind. And so I felt like I really wasn't impaired at all. I did everything I was supposed to do in my home. You know, I was able to, I had a supportive husband, but I was the one that cooked the meals and did most of the cleaning and took care of those little kids and everything. So I thought it was pretty cool. And I'd heard about the NFB, but I also heard that it was a militant organization. And in the time that I was raising my family, which was dating me in the 80s and 90s, I didn't want anything to do with this militant organization. I didn't even really know what that meant. But there were some things I didn't really know about the NFB. I'm getting to my kind of jumping around here. And you know, part of the reason was I just really didn't even try to find blind people to ask that question of. I knew someone actually before I even went to graduate school who belonged to the NFB, and she kept inviting me to come. She was someone, a coworker. We were both medical transcribers, and she would say, "Oh, at our NFB meeting, you should come." And I'd say, "Oh yeah, no, I don't need that. I'm cool, man. I got it." And so then, you know, I did get married, and I still thought I had it until this little baby came along. And then I wasn't really sure, because I recognized that there were some incidents that had happened in my life where I knew that I didn't have a lot of confidence. I had at one point given up my cane. So I was relying on others to go around with. Can you guys imagine that? Me without a cane? I know. I can't even believe it either. And so, yeah. And at one point I remember walking with one of my daughters, and she was, you're going to just die. She was like 3 years old. So I'm walking with her, and we are taking a guest back to the airport. And he was actually from Ukraine, and he had come because of my husband's work, and he had stayed with us. And sorry, I'm talking a lot, and it's giving me a lot of throat frogs. Anyway, so he was going back to his homeland, and as we came down this curb, I didn't have a cane. I mean, you know, even now I just shudder. And I fell. I was in heels. It was very cold. I just had this, you know, skirt, and I was just freezing and obviously not too steady on my feet without a cane. I didn't know the curb was there. And my little daughter was, you know, walking with mom, helping mom. And, oh, yeah. Anyway, I realized at some point that maybe I needed to look at this organization. And so some things I didn't know when I saw the NFB as a militant organization was that the NFB was making sure that vocational rehabilitation gave people choice in what they wanted to major in. There was a time when science was just off the table. You just couldn't do that. You needed to go into social science, be a social worker, be a counselor, something like that. Also they were making sure the NFB was introducing legislation that made social security laws more fair and just so that people could actually live, and make it. So someone that I knew when we moved to Utah, and a gentleman by the name of Norm Gardner, I had to ask him a technology question. I was just getting into technology a little bit. And he talked to me about attending NFB meetings. And I decided, and one of the things he did was he sent me, gave me some cassette tapes. Yes, in the day. To read some what's called kernel books. And these are books of blind people's stories. And as I read these books, I was just awed at these people. They were doing things that I just thought, I can't do it, but whatever. Horseback riding, art, traveling. And then he also, and I was amazed, and he also asked me to read a book called Marching Alone, Walking Together. And the history is called that. And then the subtitle is A History of the Blind Movement. And I read that book too, and that changed my own perception of blindness, and it was instrumental. All these things were instrumental in my real acceptance of my own blindness. If you have not learned about this organization, I invite you and encourage you to read the Braille Monitor, for example. It is the NFB's flagship publication. It is the reason that I was able yesterday to tell Gail Fanucci about the Secretary of State of Colorado and what she had to say about what Colorado has done to make sure everyone can vote. And that magazine gives so much information. And then there is the monthly live broadcast from President Riccobono. And I think that is going to continue. And it is great. It gives more information. And if you are not receiving emails from me, then I encourage you to do that. Now, I've been a little bit lax lately in sharing some information about things that are going on in the national organization. I know that Terry will cover some of this when she talks. By the way, I once again failed to recognize Terry Rupp, our national rep. And it's so much easier when people are in the room sitting next to you. So Terry, we're glad you're here, and we'll be hearing from Terry in a few minutes. So, you know, in Alaska, we do have challenges for our organization. We have a big state. It's a huge landmass, and meeting other blind people is next to, I would say, almost impossible, but not quite. So if I bet for all of you in this room, if I were to say, name five blind people that you know, or maybe 10, probably most of you could barely name 10, or probably could not. And many of them would be the instructors. We have four of us now, and Jocelyn is low vision as well. Anyway, we would definitely be the ones that most people would think of most. And I have been at the center for 10 years and in Alaska for 11. And it's the longest place I've ever lived, the longest I've lived anywhere. Since leaving my parents' home. And I've really come to love so many things about this state. Especially, I love the blind friends that I have made, the people I have worked with, opportunities I have had to teach people about blindness and teach people how to use their phones and Braille and just and the NFB. Because as I talk with people, if you think I'm just sharing blindness with you, I'm also sharing the NFB with you in a very subtle way. And I'm going to try my best to invite more people to come out. I get so busy with work that sometimes that gets overlooked, and that's not good. But I really want to let everyone know about this organization. And I've also loved serving for many years as the Anchorage chapter president. We had a great time and many fun meetings, and our Christmas party and barbecue in the summer are legendary, frankly, and have lots of memories. In 2018, I was elected to be the president of the affiliate. And once again, it's probably the hardest thing I've had to do, particularly when you're working full time. It's kind of like some weeks, it's like a second part-time job. But I do invite you to invite any blind person you know or have heard of, or someone that you know has low vision, or anyone, to come so we can increase our numbers. I really want to see this organization become stronger here. If you've grown from being attending this convention and have been positively impacted, and if you found some new ideas, I encourage you to share this, as I said earlier, information with others. Invite them to join. This organization is for all blind and low vision, partially sighted, visually impaired, however you want to say it, people, no matter their race, ethnicity, religion, sexual orientation, gender identity, color, or number of other disabilities. In this next year, we will once again build our Anchorage chapter, meeting in person and possibly online at the same time, or maybe a separate online meeting, but we will build it to be the dynamic and vibrant organization it has been in the past. We will continue to have an all-state meeting. And as I just said, it will either be at the same time or on a separate day. So that we can connect with each other and learn about the positive philosophy of the National Federation of the Blind. In 2022, the National Convention will be amazing. It's going to be in New Orleans, and I hope we can have a sizable contingent of Alaskans attend there. Also, we are looking forward to our state convention next year in 2022. It will be incredible. We will do all we can to bring folks from far away to Anchorage, as well as some connecting on Zoom. We will once again plan our chili night in February. This is an activity fundraiser that we did in 2018. Did we do it 3 or 2 years? Okay, I thought I had this in my head. We actually did it in 2020, right before the pandemic, and 2019. And I don't think we had it in 2018. I think it was 2019. And we are looking forward to doing more fundraising. In fact, I just yesterday got an email about selling popcorn as a fundraiser, and I am going to look at that. If any of you have ideas about fundraising, I am open to hearing them. And our board is too. So get in touch with me or someone else on the board, and we will discuss it. And if there's a way that you feel you would like to help in making those things happen, we want you. We are interested for sure. So as we begin to focus on fundraising, increasing our membership, and sharing our positive philosophy of blindness with all blind and low vision Alaskans and everyone else as well, the NFB of Alaska will become the dynamic organization it was meant to be. Thank you to each of you for supporting me as you have. I have grown from being friends, coworkers, advisors, and anything else that I've been able to do. I have grown from these experiences, and I appreciate all of you so much. Thank you.